Well, here I am with Jenna as usual and our guest, Thomas Jane. Hey. And I'm going to ask the first and possibly the most important question of this entire soon-to-be unforgettable interview. Do they ever call you Tom?
Well, my mother tried it once.
But you didn't like it. You want your money's worth.
That's
you
right.
Got that many letters in your name, and you want to use them.
I figure, yeah.
All right, so I'm going to call you Thomas.
Sure.
Because I don't want any trouble with the guy who was the Punisher.
You can call me Tom or Thomas. You can call me anything you want, Stan.
No, I want it to be what you want. Jenna, especially. She's a man pleaser.
Yes. Yes, I am. Well, let's talk
that's
about...
That's an excellent title, and
yeah, I
think something to aspire to.
That's new. That's a new title for me. All right, so let's talk about the presents you brought.
Oh, I brought you guys
totally
some presents. Yeah, so this is my new graphic novel.
I know you don't want to talk about them, but I twisted your arm and you said you would.
Well, yeah.
Tell us about the new graphic
novel. I know you don't
want
to read them, but I twisted your arm. And
I'm going to read them. I'm going to read them.
Well, my company, Raw Studios, we made a movie called Dark Country. So this is the graphic novel based on it. I'm inspired by you and by...
I'm a very inspiring guy.
And to make my own comics and graphic novels and stuff. But Thomas Ott is a terrific Swiss artist that I've always been a fan of, and he kind of inspired the look of the film that we did. Mm-hmm. So I asked him if he'd do an adaptation, and he absolutely loved it, and he's a terrific artist.
Looks damn good. Can you see the illustrations? A great style.
Kind of a scratchboard style.
Yeah, great style.
Yeah, he actually starts with a black page, and he scratches the white into the page.
Oh, is that how it works?
Really, really nice.
Well, I'm never again going to invite a guy who's written a book, and now I have new work to do. When I go home, I got to read the damn thing, because he'll probably ask me questions next time.
You wanted to be a novelist, right? Is that
I wanted to write the great American novel, and I never did. But this interview is not about me, even though I'm sure they'd rather hear that. Look, we're stuck with Thomas Jane. Let's get it over with, and this too shall pass. What is this, Tom? What is this, Thomas?
This is my science fiction comic book.
You thought I'd never ask.
Bad Planet. Basil Gogos did the cover here, and these are available in comic book shops now. Dark Country just came out for October for Halloween. And then this guy has been out for a little while, but, you know, we've got alien invasion, giant spiders ripping
That's
people's
great.
Heads off.
Look at the
stuff.
Color.
Yeah, beautiful. It's got a 3D section in here, too. You can put on your 3D glasses.
I don't have enough competition.
Wait. It has a 3D section in it?
It does, yeah. And
does
it's
it
also
come
got
with
a,
glasses?
A painted section. It's got the glasses right in the back. We don't cheat anybody around here
say.
At Raw Studios. Mark Schultz got a cover gallery. Dave Stevens, Mark
Jeez.
Schultz, Bill Stout, Michael Kaluta. Yeah, it's a. I'm very proud of it.
All right, you promoted what you want to promote.
Thank you.
Might as well go now.
No, but you know what I want to know because the 3D section.
Yeah.
I know you're a big proponent of well done 3D.
True.
So who do you think is doing it the best right now?
I think it was Ben done the best, I think, in the 50s. And I don't think we've matched the 3D that happened in the 50s, and I'll tell you why. We've gotten too conservative with the 3D. Here's the deal. I mean, and tell me if I'm wrong. If you've seen a 3D movie, you go to the movie, you put the glasses on, it looks great for the first 2 or 3 minutes, and then it turns into a flat TV type thing, and you forget you're wearing the glasses.
You forget it's 3D.
You forget the 3D, right? That because...
However...
Yeah.
In the past.
Exactly. That's right. In the 50s, they really played with the 3D. They made it dynamic. They made it fun. They weren't afraid to have things coming off the screen. Sure, it was cheesy every now and then, but for the most part, I mean, I just saw John Wayne's Hondo, which is a 3D Western, which you know I was over the moon about because I love Westerns and I love 3D. But in Hondo, I was struck how the 3D was so vibrant and alive, and it stayed with you throughout the whole film, and it was so well used. You know, the cameras back then were about the size of this table, so they couldn't mess around. Can you say f*** here?
I'm sure we can beep it.
They really couldn't.
I'm dead. We're out of business. He said it, not us. We're pure and clean.
I like
of
your
heart.
Pumpkin, by the way.
Pumpkin Geek made that for Halloween.
That's my pumpkin.
That is
it's
pretty.
It's Stan's pumpkin.
Oh, so Stan gets to take it home? Yeah, I suppose.
Stan
I don't know if
he'll
let me take it home.
I think he'll make you one if you ask.
You know, I only have one problem with this.
Yeah.
it's hard to read what the title is. I would have lettered that a little more clearly.
You know, that's why we needed you on the staff there.
But the book itself is gorgeous.
You know what's funny?
What?
The only drawing that I've ever done is the title. I drew this. That's it. That's my only contribution to the...
Nothing like ingratiating yourself to your guests. All right, so you're not a letterer. No big deal.
That's okay. All right, but you've been a comic book fan for a long time, and you played The Punisher, and I know you just did the indie film Dirty Laundry.
Yeah, well, we did it for YouTube. We did a little short for YouTube. I think you should show it to Stan at some point. I think you'd get a kick out of it.
Love to see it. But, you know, you're incredible. You have done so many different things, and you're still doing different things. Yeah. Now, the average guy would be happy just to rest his reputation on hung. I mean, that had to be the most gratifying, satisfying role a guy could play.
You know, he really wanted to ask you about this.
We had a lot of fun. I really did, you know. But since they canceled the show, I'm just not hung anymore.
Oh, dear.
But it was fun while it lasted, let me tell you.
Before we get on to the heavy stuff, and, you know, with interviews here, you get real heavy stuff. Can we talk about this propensity you have for going shoeless? Because I think that's something the world really should know more about.
Well, you know, okay.
And right now, this man is sitting here barefooted.
He has no shoes.
True.
Now, outside of the studio, there are people taking up a collection to buy him shoes. They don't realize he's doing this voluntarily. So let's hear about it.
Well, yeah, I don't know. You know, if you thought about how many people are making about $2 or $3 a day in China or in other places to build your pair of tennis shoes, you know, that's one thing. And the other thing is there's millions of people in the world that can't afford shoes. And that's the other thing. But for me, it's a couple of different things. There's the health thing, you know, it's healthy for you. It's actually, you know, they've shown that walking, you were meant to be barefoot. Christ, we were born barefoot. We're meant to walk around barefooted.
We were probably meant to be naked.
Well, maybe. I don't know. It gets kind of chilly. You know, I'm pretty hairy, but, you know, for a lot of guys, it gets kind of chilly out there.
You didn't mention about it being a Zen thing, which you said before. That's kind of cute.
Mindfulness, I think. You know, when I have shoes on, I don't really care where I put my feet. Kind of a little bit, can be a little clumsy with it. But when I'm barefoot, I have to be mindful of where I put my feet.
Oh, I would think so. But so you sometimes wear shoes.
Every now and then, yeah, I find myself in a position where I just can't get around it. Like going to the movie theater, who wants to sit in all that sticky bubble gum and soda laying on the floor? I always have a pair in the car and throw on at a moment's notice. But, you know, you'd be surprised how many restaurants don't say anything. I'm not going to, and I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, no, they're totally going to kick you out now.
You go into a restaurant barefooted, they let you in?
Well, I think it's a little Jedi mind trick that you do where you just kind of make sure they don't look down. You know, you just keep the focus there and show me the table. Show me your table.
I always promise you we don't get the usual kind of guests. This guy is one in a million. You know, you could make a living being a guest on talk shows because there's nobody like you.
Nobody like me.
Not only are you barefooted, you've done so many different things. I mean, even your role as the Punisher. I mean, that was pretty damn terrific.
Thanks.
You know?
Thank you.
Do you want to do another indie film based on that? Or would you want to take the one you did and expand it?
Indie film. Well, you know,
That means an independent film for you who are not part of the Kano Center.
What we did was a fan film.
Yeah.
For YouTube, and I just wanted to. I got a real, you know, fans are amazing, right? They love the characters, as you know, Stan. And the character takes on a life of its own, and it literally starts to live and breathe out in the world of the fans who love this character, and I always got a distinct impression of who the Punisher was and what they loved about that character. And I hadn't seen it on film in any of the incarnations. So that had been done before. So that's why we did the fan film, to bring to life the vision of Frank Castle that was you know, more true to what people love about it. And, you know, it was very, very successful, and that's why. You know, I think people respond to something that has that kind of hint of originality to it.
It's nice to be successful at something. And you've really been successful at a lot of different things. Mm. And I'm a little bit jealous of that. I'm a little bit upset. You've done a number of movies, and I don't like to get personal about these things, but nobody said to me, hey, Stan, how about a cameo in my film? But we'll talk about that after the show, right? I mean, you have a lot to make up for, Phil.
Well, I had read something that you wrote about talking about The Dark Knight and dark superheroes and how that sort of has more appeal now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, do you think that that's really the trend, that we're sort of roughing up our superheroes
going
a little?
Going into darkness. Or,
I would hope so, you know. I mean, there is something that's, a short answer to that is yes, because then I would work more. Because you're not going to see me in a squeaky, clean bubblegum movie. I just have a feeling that that's not where I would make my bread and butter.
Now, when you say a squeaky, clean bubblegum movie, are you referring to a movie like Spider-Man? or are you making me wonder, should I be more careful in my selection of guests for this show?
Maybe. You might want to pre-screen them. I'm going to ask them a few questions before you just...
But what is wrong with squeaky clean? I mean, there has to be something for the general public out there that doesn't go barefoot.
Yep. You know what? I think that those movies are so successful, and they've saturated the market in such a way that the dirty thing is kind of a reaction to that, you know? There's that part of the audience has been fully satisfied. They're bathing in bubble gum. They're waking up in the morning and blowing a giant bubble gum bubble around their head, and they're living that way the whole day.
Well, was the Avengers bubble gum?
I haven't seen that one yet, but I hear it's good.
You better watch it.
Yeah, that's not bubble gum. That's
but
that's
I've
darker.
Seen the Iron Man stuff, which I thought was terrific.
Was that bubble gum?
Well, it was on the, you know.
On the verge?
It kind of played both sides, you know. It had a little bit of underbelly of some grit and stomach to it, you know, the alcohol. Tony Stark, the alcoholic. By the way, you're the guy who broke the mold with the bubblegum stuff. You're the guy who said, these superheroes are squeaky clean. Nobody's got problems. Everybody wakes up the same goddamn way they go to bed at night. They all love their mothers.
For example, do you know where Clark Kent lives when he's not being Superman?
Exactly.
Have you ever seen his apartment?
Exactly.
Does he live in a house?
And these are the questions that you asked yourself when you reinvented the whole genre.
Damn
right. I'm saying that movies should be a little more closer to the spirit of that. Dirty them up. Let's see it. You know, let's see the real people. That's why I think that the new Spider-Man was successful. It was because of that Andrew Garfield's performance. He was very sensitive. He was very sort of realistic in his approach to that. People always respond to that, you know?
I couldn't agree more. Well, you probably like a movie like The Punisher, probably a movie like Death Wish.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
So what you like is a guy who's angry, who's hostile, who has a damn good reason for being hostile, and he's going to go out there, and he's going to damn well make sure that he sets things to right.
I like the idea of an outcast, a person who, I especially love the idea of a man that you need to keep the peace, right? There's violence in the world. Things go horribly wrong all the time. And in order to counteract that violence, you need somebody who's capable of just as much violence. You know, you need to fight
violence with violence.
Or right. Fight evil with evil, you know? That's why all the good cops that were back in the 60s and 70s, they were motherfuckers, you know? And they caught the bad guys, man. They got down and dirty because they knew where they lived in their heart. You know, today, to be a policeman, you have to go through all these psych evaluations. If you masturbate too much, They kick you out, you know, if you've had an extramarital affair.
How the hell do they find out if you masturbate?
Well, you take the psych.
You don't do it right in the precinct in front
of
everyone.
That seems unwise.
They give you a lie detector test, and they figure this shit out, man.
But
it's,
I mean,
it's 2012. They can figure out anything.
It's true. Well, I mean, sort of the superhero thing that people always talk about is if, say, some of the cleaner superheroes, like Superman, killed some of the bad guys, they wouldn't come back. So it sort of makes more sense if you fight violence.
Eliminate. But the point is that I'm interested in that because society can't tolerate those people for very long. You need people that can really fight, get down and fight evil. But at a certain point, you have to kill them.
Well, what you're really saying, and I don't disagree, in order to fight the worst elements around, you need a guy who has the worst elements. You need a guy who's as tough as the other guy.
That's right.
As merciless as the other guy.
That's right.
Who'll stop at nothing to get rid of the other guy. And he won't let the rules and he won't let any argument stand in his way.
That's right.
Yeah, and I can see that. That's a damn good point.
Yeah, I love it. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, so tell us, I know, going back to Dark Country, because I know that's played every Halloween. Tell me a little bit about the experience of that. And for people who aren't familiar with it, talk a little bit about the story.
Well, October 28th, we had the screening of Dark Country down at the Downtown Independent. About once a year, Halloween. It's a very Halloween-style movie, this Dark Country. You know, it's very graphic novel. It's very dark. It's very Twilight Zone. It's very inspired by the Twilight Zone and film noir. I stole all these great shots from all my favorite film noirs and put them in the movie. That's the fan base. We played it at the Long Beach Comic Con a couple of years in a row, and they love it. They played it at San Diego. They love it down there. Mm-hmm. It's really that kind of film, which is why we're talking about it today on your show. I don't forget the question, but we were having fun. We have fun with
it. I tend to do that. I always forget the question. I start rambling. I forgot what you were talking about. I wanted to answer you, and I can't remember what the hell. But, of course, what you say is usually forgettable. You know what I was really thinking about while you were talking?
What?
I was thinking, when you walk in the street barefoot,
right,
do people throw money at you? No, I can see a guy, oh, poor fella, here, take this dollar, get yourself a cup of coffee, and maybe buy a pair of secondhand shoes.
When I moved to Hollywood when I was 18 years old, I sold my car for $800, and then that ran out pretty quick. My last $60, I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to starve. So I took $60, and I went to the pawn shop, and I bought a guitar. And I sat on the...
You play a guitar?
No, I couldn't play the guitar to save my life. But I sat on the corner on Sunset Boulevard or Hollywood Boulevard...
With the guitar?
With the guitar, and I'd strum on it, you know, and people would throw money in the hat just to make me shut up. Just to, you know, shopkeepers would come out and go, dude, please, here's a dollar, move down the street. You know, literally.
That's a great story. Well, what about being barefoot?
Well, nobody, I was going to say...
Nobody slips you a buck?
Right. I was going to say, I'm an old hand at that. I mean, people slip me a buck every now and then just to shut me up, Stan.
You know, you're not the average guest that we have on these shows.
No.
In fact, you're not the average guy that you see. In fact, you're not. Are you from this planet?
Oh, that's a great question. Now we're getting down to some good stuff here.
In fact, let me ask you something. Zombies. Are you into zombies?
No, I hate zombies.
All right, I do too, and I'm going to tell you why. I was hoping you'd ask why.
Why? Why do you hate them? And then I'll tell you why I hate them.
I figure if I were dead, okay, and I could come back to life, why would I want to go around eating people? I'd be so glad I'm alive again. I'd want to celebrate. Hey, look at me. I'm alive. Let's have a drink.
See, this is Stan Lee. That would make a great film.
It would.
You know, these zombies waking up and they're like, f***ing A, and they start going and doing all the things that they wanted to do that they didn't get to do when they were dead, you know, going to Disneyland, whatever. Zombies were walking around eating all kinds of crazy stuff.
Hey, you know, he's got the feeling. He gets it. And I'll do a cameo and we'll do the goddamn movie.
I think this
we'll
should
happen. But we don't like zombie movies, Dan. We're not going to make any more
zombies.
So you want that zombie movie. And why do you hate zombies?
I think it's just too easy. My God, I mean, how many movies can you make about guys who come back from the dead and try to eat brains? And you got to pull them, shoot
and
a bullet in their
funny.
Head.
And you got to walk funny. Oh,
they're fast though. They're real
it's
fast.
True.
Those zombies are fast.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to see that. Yeah. Oh, those zombies are slow. Damn. Oh, I want to see that.
It's a good thing zombies walk slow. At least you can get away from them.
Yeah. You
some
could.
Of them
I don't
now
open
don't
the
know.
Door of my house. Until I check, are there any zombies around? Because I don't run as fast as I used to, and I want to give myself enough space.
Stanley,
right,
fear of zombies.
Oh, that's enough for the guy.
All right, well, I have some rapid-fire questions for you that I will get as soon as
oh,
I
poor
find
out.
We're going to do questions.
They're rapid-fire questions. Okay, so superhero or supervillain, which would you be?
No, I don't know any about this stuff. I can't tell you any of this crap. No. Let's just sit here and continue.
Good
the
for you.
Okay.
You know, I've been waiting for a guy to. Don't throw those stupid questions
okay.
at me. That's not what I want to do.
Yeah, we'll
my just, kind of guy.
No. All right.
Let's just talk about me.
Yeah.
Well, you said you had questions for Stan.
Well, yeah, I know. I know Stan doesn't like talking about himself, but I was.
I love it.
I was all curious about this. Mm-hmm. One of the first things that Stan did was one of the first things Stan did for Timely, which then later became Marvel, was he wrote the text. There's a filler story, a couple pages of text, which nobody reads, in the back of the comic book because they have
in the middle of the comic.
A couple extra pages. And one of the first ones you did was for Captain America. Check this out. So he throws this thing in there, which had never been done before, with Captain America ricocheting his shield, throwing his shield in it, ricochets off something, he catches it again. Stan came up with that in a text filler for, and I was just curious. I read that and I was thinking, I wonder if Stan saw, you know, the new movie, Captain America, and he saw, you know, Captain America with that shield, and he throws a shield and it ricochets, and I just wonder how that felt.
Good. This is why I'm a great guest at an interview show. Felt good.
I've never seen you speechless, Stan.
No, but I'm amazed that you know about those two-page.
Well,
do you know the
I'm
reason they had them?
I thought it was to fill up the two extra pages.
No, there was a definite reason why they had them, and it's.
Oh, to be classified as a pulp.
Second class
yeah,
reading.
Yeah, right on.
If you want to stop and take a drink or something, this is a good time to do it because this is the dullest explanation you'll ever hear in your life. In order for the comic books to be listed as second class reading matter or something like that, which meant when they're mailed out to the shops, they don't pay as much postage, so the publisher saves money. If it's second class, in order to be classified that way, you had to have at least 2 pages of text. It couldn't be all pictures. Well, nobody read the text, and I was the least important guy there at the time. So they said, Stan, you write those damn 2-page fillers. I wrote them, and they were able to send the magazines out at a cheaper rate. After a while, they made some deal where they could send the magazines out at the regular rate. And Stan stopped writing those damn things. We don't need them anymore. And that's the whole story. And I have never been more dull.
The other great thing that you created with comic books that had never been done is the community between the readers and the fans. That's a Stan Lee invention. The reason why we have fanboys today and the internet and this obsessive compulsive culture that we're obsessed with this crap stems from Stan Lee's creating of the bullpen in the Marvel comics and Stan's soapbox when he would write and be kind of create a community. They talk about the artist. He'd put the big blocks of like who was lettering, who was inking, who wrote it. And you'd get to know these people, like Jack Kirby and Ditko and all these guys. And then they'd talk about themselves and what they had coming up and who what characters might do what. And then Spider-Man would show up at the offices of Marvel and drop something off for Stan. I mean, it kept you almost sometimes more than the stories themselves. They kept you interested in this community of people.
You know, you're incredible. You really... caught the whole idea of all of that.
You should hire him.
Yeah, and it was a planned campaign. And I'll give you one fast example. Our competition, which at that time was called National Comics, they had letters page. And they'd get a letter, and they'd print it, and it would say, Dear Editor, and the letter, and signed John So-and-so. If I got a letter like that, even if it said Dear Editor, when I printed it, I'd say, Dear Stan. And if it was signed John, I'd say, Johnny. And I would reply, Hey, Johnny, great hearing from you. Whereas they would say, Thank you for your letter, Johnny. And so I tried to get an informal, friendly feeling to the whole thing. And out of all of our millions of readers, you're the only one who got onto it. You're wonderful, Tom. Yeah. Thomas.
You're going to get in trouble, Stan. On that note, gentlemen, cheers.
Oh, well, cheers.
Oh, you can't get a better ending than me saying he's wonderful. No, there you go.
Hey. Excelsior.
Excelsior. Huh?